Welcome to AMDA on the Hill, your opportunity to keep up with the latest policy and advocacy news from the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. AMDA on the Hill is produced in association with AMDA on the Go and available on the same podcast channel. Support for this podcast is brought to you by U.S. Post-Acute Care. And now here is your host for AMDA on the Hill, Alex Bardock.
Hello, and welcome to AMDA on the Hill. My name is Alex Bardock, and I'm the Director of Public Policy and Advocacy here at AMDA. As usual, I just wanted to provide you an update of what we've been doing in our policy and advocacy efforts. Of course, this is the last update for 2020, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, obviously, of what a year it has been. It has obviously been a very different year. A very challenging year. And personally, again, I just want to reiterate and thank all of you from a personal standpoint and everything about what you've done on the front lines. It's been nothing short of heroic. I feel very honored and privileged to be able to work for an organization that represents clinicians that have put themselves on the front lines of this battle and have really helped to stem the tide of the pandemic. Our role this year, of course, in advocacy has been to relay a lot of the concerns that you have brought forward to us. We have continued our communication with the federal government, as well as state governments, with many thanks to a lot of different people that have been involved on the state level. And so I just want to extend my thanks to all of you. This has been one of the more strange years within advocacy, of course, not being able to travel, not being able to meet face-to-face, which, you know, in this line of work is, we would have never believed that we could do that, over a virtual platform, but here we are. So again, thanks to all of you. For the last sort of update of the year, it has not been a quiet December, during the holiday season. It's actually been quite busy. I want to highlight two things that are ongoing, and I will start with sort of some late breaking news that most of you probably already know from press reports that Congress passed legislation sort of last minute, but it's the large, what's commonly known as the stimulus package. I want to assure you that AMDA has been involved in conversations around the stimulus package for quite some time now, and of course it has been frustrating to see no action in Congress on many of the issues that this bill now addresses. But I want to highlight a few things. Many of you know, if you've listened to this update, and if not, that on January 1st, 2021, clinicians that practice in nursing facilities, assisted living, and home health were facing an 8 to 10% cut to their Medicare payments for evaluation and management services. This was due to a final rule that came out of CMS. We'll get to CVS later. but out of CMS that essentially finalized the proposal to increase payment for primary care office-based clinicians, those codes. But because of budget neutrality rules, other codes within the fee schedule would have to be decreased. Unfortunately, that included the nursing facility codes, home health assisted living, also infectious disease hospitalists, and many of the surgical specialties. We have been, and I want to thank a lot of AMDA members have been involved in this. I want to thank all of you. Many of you may have written letters. We had our grassroots activated. There were over 2,000 letters sent, one of our most engaged campaigns. So I can't thank you enough for engaging with us. But we have been talking to Congress, we have been talking to CMS about a solution to this problem, and it would have been a catastrophic problem. What the legislation does, and again, I want to warn that at the time of this recording, it has just been hours since the passage of the bill, so I have a high line summary of it, so there may be some details that I could miss, but what it essentially did was eliminate a payment for 3 years for a new code that CMS had proposed. It was a complex care add-on code, what's known as a G code. This code added to the fee schedule also resulted in a budget neutrality adjustment that meant higher decreases for other codes. What Congress did is eliminate that code payment for that code for 3 years. And essentially what that means is the cut is now not as steep because of that. Also, what they did is added some money into the fee schedule. So the fee schedule itself is a pie of money that, you know, when one thing goes up, another goes down. But when you insert additional money into it, then, you know, you don't have to play that balance game, the budget neutrality. All in all, to say we don't know the actual impact this will have on nursing home codes. So you were scheduled to be cut 8 to 10%. I can't tell you as of recording this if that cut will be reduced by 2% or 3% or what that will mean, or you'll actually even out. But we do know that it significantly lessens the impact. We are, as we talk about that, we are also working diligently to address the evaluation management codes for nursing facilities. This was the plan all along when we began this work in 2016 to provide updates to evaluation management office codes. It will spread, quote unquote, to other evaluation and management codes as well. So we will likely see, well, we don't know how it will play out, but we may see some different rules for other E&M codes in the future as well. But that remains all to be seen. So in short, what all this means is that you are not going to be facing an 8 to 10% cut. It will be less. Exactly what it will be, please stay tuned for updates from AMDA, and we will be sure to let you know. We will be sending emails. We will be putting it into our newsletters. Feel free to email me. I am happy to answer questions. Another important thing this bill did is actually, you may recall back way back when, there was a sequester in place which eliminated, which cut two additional 2% from Medicare payments. Well, that sequester was scheduled to go back into effect in January 1. It is now being delayed until March 2021. So it will not be in the January 1st, 2021. So again, what that means is this is all good news, that essentially you may be paid at a much higher rate than you would have been without the legislation. And that is something that we kept stressing to both CMS and Congress, that we simply could not stand for a cut of 8 to 10%. It would be a devastating blow to the patients and residents in these facilities, and quite frankly, all of you that have put yourselves on the line. The optics of this are absolutely terrible. Everybody's been working as hard as they can to control the virus. We are not out of the woods by any means, and I'll touch on the vaccine and where we are with that in a moment. But to put that cut into effect would have been devastating. And so we're happy to see that Congress acted. You know, I don't know, again, what the impact will be. But, you know, I think it is a victory for AMDA that they heard us, that they understood us, and we'll see where we go from here. The bill also does not stop there. There are other provisions within the legislation. There are surprise billing provisions that I think will be important to dig into at another point in time. There are telehealth provisions. It provides additional $250 million for the Federal Communications Commission. As you know, this is an issue in nursing homes. Most of you that practice know how difficult it is sometimes to get onto Wi-Fi if you're in a rural area. We've talked with CMS and the FCC about this issue, that we need more infrastructure support for nursing facilities. We are certainly moving forward, going to advocate that some of the money that has been allocated in this legislation be given to rural facilities to upgrade their infrastructure, as it is obviously of utmost importance at this crucial time and moving forward. There are other provisions in the legislation dealing with advanced payment models, making it easier to meet thresholds to get bonus payments. So I think that is actually a very important provision. Again, don't have many details, but we will provide them as we get through reading the legislation. So I think that's, again, breaking news here, just occurred, but stay with us and we'll provide you more updates. I want to move on to, obviously, the news around the vaccine. This has been the hottest story in nursing homes, as you all by now know. This shouldn't be, I hope, breaking news, that residents and staff in nursing facilities were voted to be at the highest priority area. And we know now that many facilities around the country are receiving first doses of that vaccine. It is being administered for the most part by CVS and Walgreens, although we do know that there are parts of the country, LA County, for example, that have pulled out of that plan and are working with their local pharmacies to administer the vaccine. But, you know, there's going to be challenges, to try and administer a vaccine to thousands of nursing homes and thousands, if not millions, residents and staff, vaccines that require multiple doses. So there are many, many challenges. And I assure you that we have continued our dialogue with both CDC and CMS to trying to address a lot of those challenges. But I think we need to welcome the news around the vaccine. It is a light at the end of the tunnel. AMDA's actually started a campaign where many our members are showing their videos, their pictures of themselves getting vaccinated, their staff getting vaccinated. So hopefully this is a sign of things to improve as we move into 2021. Again, challenging 2020, but hopefully it ends on a note that puts us in a much, much better place and footing into next year. And hopefully we can try to get back to normal. We do continue to stress to people that, you know, vaccines are going to be extraordinarily important. Our big concern remains with vaccine hesitancy. We hope that medical directors, attending physicians, clinicians, leaders in their facilities serve in that capacity. And they, you know, the purpose of sharing the photos and the videos is to encourage others. But we understand that it's going to take quite an effort to provide education around what the vaccine is and is not. There's obviously lots of information floating in the lay public. I think it's not just that we have to talk about this in the nursing homes. We have to talk about this in the broader scope of the community. I do know that many AMDA members have been on major media networks talking about this. So please continue to share your stories. Please continue to share on social media or in whatever way makes you comfortable. Because, you know, obviously we want to address vaccine hesitancy and we want to make sure that, you know, moving forward, that we include this population in trials. We really focus on this population so that perhaps we build a little bit more trust if we are ever in the position again. That's probably the biggest news around the vaccine. There is also an effort as the vaccine is rolling out, an effort about anti-global, another effort to try and solve this through antibodies. And, we are in touch with the CDC again. This is at a different office with CMS. And, if you are part of those studies, please let us know how it's going. We know that those dual efforts are there. We know that there are challenges about, you know, short stay patients coming back to the facility to receive a second dose and things like that. So again, lots of things that we continue to talk with our partners at ACA and Leading Age, as well as CDC and CMS. So lots going on here as we end the year. Those are probably the biggest highlights. We, of course, remain vigilant around areas like PPE, visitation, and testing. All of those things remain in the forefront. They have not gone away. And I think it's important to sort of the other thing that we have been stressing to Congress, to CMS, to anybody, you know, to folks that are policymakers, that, you know, just because the vaccine is here doesn't mean that, you know, we need to stop being vigilant around mask wearing and social distancing and many other things that we have been doing over the last 9 months. There's going to be a lot of questions, particularly in nursing facilities where people have been waiting so long to see their loved ones. And so they, you know, there may be some thought that, you know, they received the vaccine. It's like, hooray, you know, we can open up the facility and move on. Of course, you all know that that's not the case. And that's something we have also stressed for folks out there. I will probably end there. It's probably been long enough of an update. And again, I want to wish everybody, you know, happy holidays. Hopefully you get to spend some time with family. Connect with others that perhaps you haven't been able to, whether it's over our virtual platforms and the like. I want to point out that the AMDA meeting coming up time from now, hard to believe, but in March, registration is open. We hope you join us for this virtual meeting. We're going to highlight a lot of the issues that we've been talking about. We sure hope to, quote unquote, see you there. And at some point, see you all in person. Again, thanks to all of you for being part of our advocacy efforts this year. Thanks for making us as successful as we can be, although I know that to many of you, it may not seem like enough. I agree with you, it isn't enough, but we will continue to try our best. We will always try to continue to improve and do what we can for you all, and of course, for the residents and patients that you serve. Until next time, thank you all. Bye.
Delivering true excellence in post-acute medicine requires more investment, resources, and infrastructure than ever before. U.S. Post-Acute Care, a physician-led practice group, has built a business model dedicated to providing high-quality post-acute patient care on a national scale. We make it easy and beneficial for regional practices to leverage our resources to drive the growth and quality of their practices. Visit our website at uspostacutecare.com to see for yourself. Together, we'll be stronger. References from this podcast can be found at paltc.org/policy.